Good morning. My testimony this morning is based on prayer. As a young child growing up, my grandparents took me to church. My grandmother was Pentecostal, and my grandfather was Baptist, so I went to both. Then we moved to Florida, and my parents did not attend church, but they made sure that the children went to church. We couldn't do anything unless we went to church. So I grew up in the church. As an adult, I was saved at the age of 15. I belonged to a Pentecostal church at that time. Raised my children in the church. Was in a very abusive marriage that ended. So then I had two children to raise, and we stayed in the church and stayed in prayer. And God blessed us. We were able to get our own home, and I was able to even go to college and get a master's degree, being a single mom. Prayed my way through school. I began teaching Sunday school to young children. And when my son, I think he was in the first, no, he was in kindergarten. I started teaching Sunday school and was really blessed by that. I often tell the story about the bully that came to my class. And the Lord led me to give him my testimony. And once I gave him my testimony, he started to tell me about his home life. He had a brother at home who was a paraplegic, and it was kind of rough on him. But then he started to just embrace me. So whenever the kids would come to my class, he would always tell them, "You pay attention." And so he kept everything straight in that Sunday school class. I later saw him as an adult, and he was doing well. So I praise the Lord for that. But I went through some rough times in that marriage. I had to pray a lot, and God was with me. And I remember one night as I was praying, and the Lord said, "When he enters your house, he will not be able to stay." So my husband came home that night, and he said, "There's something wrong in here. I cannot stay." So that night, he slept in the truck. And from that night on, I never had to worry about that anymore. But God is just awesome. He just came in, and he just blessed me in ways that I can't even count. Later, I married my husband that died. It was a wonderful marriage, one that was built on Christ. Learned a lot from him, but the Lord took him. It was rough. It was rough. But I prayed my way through that. And then later, after 8 years, I married again. And it also was an abusive relationship verbally. But I prayed my way through that, and the Lord had spoke to me. He said, "I'm going to move him before the end of the year." And God moved him. He decided to go to Colorado. So I cried about it. I said, "Okay, I just need to back off. God has answered my prayer, and I need to leave it alone." So that's why I'm here at Pauline today. I just thank God for his grace and his mercy, and I thank him how he has blessed me to this point in my life, and he is so gracious.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Dora. Aura. Wow, sorry. I even said that to Lynn. Please don't let me call her Dora. Miss Aura, thank you so much for your precious testimony. For you guys that are not aware, I'm asking folks to pray about it. We learned several Sunday nights ago that, the Bible tells us to share our story. And Miss Mary went first, and now Miss Aura. And so I'm asking for you to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit as he guides you, if you would be willing to come up and share 5 minutes. If you want to write it out, it's about 400, 500, 600 words. If you want to type it out, write at them. And if you want to share your story, please. I feel that God's going to bring someone each Sunday morning for a while until most everyone gets a chance to do it. I will not call on you. I will not embarrass you. But I just feel like it'll be a precious time that we get to know each other and we give God praise and glory for our, you know, basically your story is how did you meet Jesus? You know, how did you meet Jesus? And you can tell that in 5 minutes, right? You can. So please pray about that. If you feel like God's moving in your heart about sharing your story, then get with me. You know, text me, email me, private message, Facebook, catch me after church, Sunday night, Wednesday. Please let me know or call me. There's the old-fashioned way of calling with a telephone, right? I forget about the cell phone, don't we? So there's a lot going on. Please pick up the calendar that Miss Bonnie so graciously whipped out real quick this morning and printed it out. Thank you. She is. I mean, it was a meeting and boom, boom, and there's a printed out over there. So that's awesome. Well, thank you, guys. Was I supposed to say anything? I forgot. There's a list. Dairy, I think, covered most everything for sure. So let's go ahead and get started. We have been in Romans for, I believe, about 7 or 8 weeks now. So we're going to pause just a little bit on Romans. And for the next 4 weeks, I've got some I'm really excited about. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to go through a series leading up to Easter morning and sunrise service. So we're going to talk about Jesus and his walk and the lives that he's connected with each morning, starting this morning, and then we're going to move up till Easter morning sunrise service, and so we're going to give God all honor and praise and glory for this, and so that's what we're going to. And then after that, we'll see what we pick back up in Romans. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together as always, and Lord, we just like. Mr. Jerry said this morning, you know, we just thank you for this building. Thank you for the folks that's here this morning to hear your word. And Father, I ask that you help me. And we love you. We thank you. And we give you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. And 1 through 42. So I've got a lot of scripture here to read, but we're going to read through this whole scripture, and then we're going to get going. So John chapter 4, verse 1 through 42, and I got the English Standard Version. So follow along with me, if you will, John 4, 1 through 42. All right, so it says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. As my note says, about lunchtime, about noon. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, 'Give me a drink,' You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become to him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people are to worship. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I have ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone bought him something to eat? Brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes to the harvest. I look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into the labor. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. 41, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen? Can I say amen? Jesus finds you? Sorry for my reading there, but I literally just could not see the words. I cannot use this Bible again. I've got to get a bigger word, you know, bigger Bible. When we say that X marks the spot, most people think about tattered maps, greedy pirates, and buried treasures. But when it comes to the Gospel of John, and chapter 4 is loaded with buried treasure just below the story. For me and the ministry that God's called me for many, many, many years, this is one of the most significant passages in the Bible for me. It's the story of Jesus showing us how to minister to others. No matter what they look like, what they do or don't do, no matter what their background is, Jesus is showing us how to minister to others. You see, my friends, anyone can come to Jesus. Jesus is calling us. We come just as we are. Revelations 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the whole one that hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come." He says, "Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, guys, John packed in these 42 verses. It was long for me to read, especially I was blind. But these 42 verses John packs into this encounter with the Samaritan woman. You see, guys, Jesus crossed social barriers, political barriers, religious barriers, ethnic barriers, and culture barriers when he engaged in this conversation with this lady. It was a significant encounter. But Jesus planned it to a T. In this story, it talks about a 120-mile trek of land from the bottom to the top, which we're talking about Israel here. And in the Bible days, at the very top of it was Galilee, and the very bottom was Judea, and right in the middle was Samaria. And John opens up this fourth chapter letting us know that Jesus was headed up to Galilee. But he was down in Judea and had a very fruitful ministry during this time. And so he was headed back up to Galilee. Jesus had to meet the Samaritan woman. Amen? He had to. Although he knew that he was on a collision course with these Pharisees. And he knew that eventually he was going to link up with these Pharisees. But it wasn't his time yet. He had to go through Samaria. Now see, Jesus was a Jew, and this direction that he went was definitely called the road of less traveled. Because he had primarily two ways that he can get from Judea to Galilee. He could get on the east side of the Jordan River and trek all the way down, and when he got up at a certain point, he could hook a corner and head on down to Galilee. Or he could go right on through Samaria, right through the middle. And he could take all his Jewish friends and go right through Samaria. Almost all the Jews of that days, they dreaded, they would not go through Samaria. It was like a plague to them. That part on the map was like off limits to Jews. They would just do anything to stay away from going there. This land of Samaria was filled with all kinds of folks, all kinds of groups of peoples, different ethnic groups, different religious groups, different cultural groups, and they were all called Samaritans. And the Jews and the Samaritans were like oil and water. They hated each other. They despised each other. Jesus knew this. It was many, many, many years that they fought, and there was a lot of historical wounds there. But Jesus loved them anyway. And Jesus understood this. But regardless, he was about to put an X on the map. And this led straight to a specific location he had been waiting on to uncover this lady's need. Jesus was putting the X on the mark. John 4:4, we just read. John 4:4, it says, and he had to pass through Samaria. This is one of the most important verses in this whole story. He speaks of this divine mission. Jesus was the ultimate reconciler. He had to do this. He had to begin to preach to these people. He shared the grace and salvation with these folks. Now, from a navigational standpoint, Jesus had the option. He could have took the direction of most all the other Jews and kind of skirted around Samaria. Yes, it would have been the easier and softer way. But he couldn't. He had a mission. The book of John tells us. It tells us this, that this was not an option. Jesus had a divine meeting planned with this hurting and broken lady. She needed forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus knew he was on the way to the cross, but he had to pass through Samaria. Jesus was about to do something, say something, and reveal something that would radically alter the entire world and humankind. John goes on to tell us that Jesus was tired and thirsty. We just read that. And Jesus sat down by the well. And he waited patiently for his divine appointment, who showed up just in time. Amen. I'll read it again. John 4:7-9. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus said, "Oh, if you really knew me, if you really knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you living water." You see, back in that day, water was a life source. It was a dusty and thirsty area, and water was like everything. And when they referred to living water back then, what it really meant was living water to them meant a river or a stream that was like alive and running. It was much cleaner and healthier than water that was still and collected in a well or cistern. If one can find living water back then, it made life and the quality of living much better. Living water cut out all that working hard and toting water from here and there. It helped watering livestock if they could find this thing called living water, which is basically a river or stream. Jacob's well, we talked about, was approximately 100 feet deep. It was a good water source, but it would not even compare to what they refer to as living water, a stream or a river. You see, this woman was fixated on physical water. And Jesus was talking about quenching the thirst of her soul. And that only comes from the living water of Almighty God, through his salvation. Jesus knew she had been drinking from false wells that would never satisfy her inside. This woman had been trying to satisfy her internal thirst for security and salvation by going from man to man rather than coming to Almighty God to quench her thirst of her soul. Jesus knew she had been worshiping at the false well of broken relationships with men who were using her and leaving her empty and dry on the inside of her soul. Jesus tells her the truth. Jesus starts telling her the truth about her life. which brings to the surface not buried treasure, but buried idols. Jesus began to name it, and she began to acknowledge it. Then Jesus does something that is recorded for the first time in the Gospels. He clearly acknowledges verbally that he is the long-awaited Messiah. Amen? Jesus declared himself as the Messiah at that moment. From that moment, by the well, the woman's whole future changed. Her eternity changed with life-giving salvation. Her inner thirst was quenched. She left her water jug behind and ran to tell those in her village what had just happened with Jesus. And the Bible goes on to say that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of her testimony. She began to share her story. She began to talk about what Jesus done for her, how Jesus changed her life. Thank you, Miss Ora, for sharing your story this morning. So when the Samaritans came to him, they came to Jesus. They asked him to stay with them. So Jesus stayed a couple more days. And many more were believed. Many more got saved and believed in him. And this is a cool part right here to me. It says, and they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Salvation came to the Samaritans on that day. The treasure chest of God was unearthed and opened at Jacob's well. Living waters quenched their thirst inside. They came because, listen to this, they came because an outcast in their community was changed. They left changed not because of what she said, but because of what they tasted and experienced themselves. Amen. Psalms 34:8, and this is our memory verse for the day. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." They experienced the washing of the living waters of the Messiah one by one. This is the treasure that can never be measured. This is a treasure that's beyond worth. Have you drank from the well that springs forth with living water this morning? I invite you, if you never have, to drink from the well that we're talking about this morning, which is Christ, the living water of eternal life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for this story. Lord, we love you, Lord. If there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you would draw them in to drink from this well, the well of living water that springs forth with eternal life, with peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we love you, and we just thank you. If there's one here that'd like to join our church this morning, or maybe get baptized in the near future, Lord, that would come down and speak and talk. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.